When he was just 21 years old and a student at the University of Michigan, this would have been in 2010, Yusuf Rabhi ran for a seat on the Washtenaw County Commission, and he won by one vote. Later, during a recount, it was determined that he had actually won by two votes. So fast forward to 2026, and Rabhi, now a former state representative, term limited out, and currently once again a county commissioner from District 8, is challenging Ann Arbor Mayor Christopher Taylor in his bid to become mayor of the city of Ann Arbor. Commissioner Rabhi joins us live in studio on the Lucy Ann Lance Show on Ann Arbor's talk station, 1290 WLBY. So there I was going in to vote in Pittsfield Township, actually in the city of Ann Arbor, at Pittsfield Elementary School. Yeah. And there was your mother. And she was outside stumping on your behalf. And I stopped to talk with her. I was so enamored with her. Here's a mom. Her son is running for the first time. And she is out there trying to get every vote she could possibly get, Yusuf. And then you win by one vote, ultimately two votes. And I can't stop thinking all these years later, that's the power of a mother. And it also resonated with me because it brought home this idea that every vote counts. I have not forgotten your mother to this day.
That is truly incredible, and you're making me like a little emotional thinking about it because, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for having me on the show. This is exciting to be here with you to talk about my candidacy. And yes, that first election was absolutely memorable and meant so much to me because I was just a student at the University of Michigan. I mean, I'm a local kid. I grew up here, but I didn't really know what I was doing. I had never been in politics before, and I just got out there and really started just talking to people, knocking doors, you know, getting out in the community. And my mom was one of my biggest fans, of course, and, you know, stood outside the polling locations and knocked doors for me and did so much. That first election, you know, winning by one vote has always stuck with me as well, you know, throughout my time in politics, being a county commissioner, state rep, and then county commissioner again, because it's always reminded me that not just, you know, the power of that one vote, but it's understanding that every single person in our community makes a difference. And that as an elected official, I have always, that's been a guiding light for me in everything that I've done. And that's why I put so much onus on giving power back to the people, because the people of our community deserve to have a seat at the table. And that first experience, that first election, is what guided me to have really that ethic in my political service.
You feel that has been lost?
I think it's been lost in politics generally at the local, state, and federal level, you know, where I think politicians, what I've seen time and time again is I feel like politicians get elected and they feel like somehow they're like anointed by some external, you know, force that like put them in. And then that creates a sense of like entitlement almost to the job and sort of this, I've almost seen in some cases a sense of disdain towards like voters in many cases. And to me, that's like a totally opposite to what our democracy should be. Our democracy should be a place where everybody feels that they can speak their mind and that their voices are not just listened to, but also heard and incorporated into the decision-making process.
Commissioner, this Democratic primary race is proving to be one of the more interesting to watch in recent years, because even though both you and Mayor Taylor are Democrats, you have distinctly different ideas, platforms, and plans for the town that you were born and raised in. How would Ann Arbor of today change under your leadership as mayor?
Well, one of the main things that propelled me to run is the cost of living, which has become rampantly unaffordable for working folks, for middle-class people, seniors, students, people starting a family here. And that really is one of the main motivators for me. Again, growing up in this community, we've always been a town that is diverse socioeconomically, racially, et cetera. And I feel like we're becoming more and more gentrified. We're becoming more and more a town that you have to, I call it a country club town, because you almost have to like afford a membership to live here. And so one of the things that I really want to focus on, and that one of the things that will change, during my time as mayor of Ann Arbor, is a real focus on affordability for those different demographics that are getting priced out of our community. And in my opinion, you know, one of the big pieces on that, there's really two main buckets, but one of them is affordability of housing. And my approach to that is that if we want affordable housing, we have to build affordable housing rather than building housing for the ultra wealthy and focusing our resources on, you know, more $1 million condos and stuff like that. That's trickle down housing. That's trickle down economics, as if like building housing for the ultra wealthy is going to result in affordability for the rest of us. I don't believe in that. I think we have to build actually affordable housing for the community.
Yusuf, you and Mayor Taylor point have different ideas on this. He points to an increase in housing being built with 1,200 units of permanent affordable housing slated for Ann Arbor over the next 5 years. What is Mayor Taylor not getting right about affordable housing in your mind?
Well, so there's a few things. One, I will say that that figure that's cited, talks about, some future projects that are in the pipeline. It's not just projects that have been built. I have actually been at the table to build a lot of those projects. I want to talk about a few. One is the Platte Road site that I was very involved in. That's 50 units of affordable housing that got off the ground because of my work. As a legislator, I got hundreds of thousands of dollars allocated to that project. I got $750,000 allocated for the Ann Arbor Housing Commission's Lurie Terrace to do upgrades there. I got $3 million allocated for Avalon Housing to build affordable housing here. So like I have been at the center of a lot of those projects. That is not, those 1,200 units are not units that he can solely claim credit for because I have been involved in helping to get those off the ground as well. But I will say that is not nearly enough. That is not nearly enough to meet the need for our community. And so one of the things that that I really want to do is to supercharge our focus on not just affordable, but permanently affordable. Because oftentimes you see these units that are built as quote unquote affordable, but they're not actually affordable, or they're not affordable in the long term. Maybe they got a credit that only requires them to be affordable for 15 or 30 years, and then they go back to market rate. To me, it's about creating permanent affordability so that we don't have these issues 15 to 30 years down the road.
How do you do that then to have the city or the county, in this case the city if you're mayor, take more ownership of affordable housing? How does that get paid for? Because there's complications too with federal dollars, state dollars, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of funding sources now that exist that we already use. But one of the things that I want to introduce into the mix of funding sources is something called revenue bonding. This type of revenue bonding, basically, it doesn't increase taxes. It doesn't take money out of the city's general fund. It ties the borrowing of funds to the specific development in question, and then it pays back the lenders specifically in that development. This is a tried and true method of governments being able to do public projects. It's actually a law that was put in place in Michigan in the 1930s. So it's been around for almost 100 years, and many municipalities have used this. And I would like to introduce that revenue stream into the mix when it comes to the building of housing in our community. The other thing I want to talk about too really quickly is there's also an issue. The affordability question is, one, it's a question of expenses, but it's two, it's a question of wages and income, especially for those, in our community that are working to make our community run. I mean, we have our teachers union that is without a contract right now. We have our city workers, the 300 plus city workers that make our community run.
They've thrown their support behind
me, yes, both of them have. But they are without a contract as well. They don't have a contract. Our bus drivers don't have a contract. They're also supporting me. This is an issue that we have all these working people that are literally making our community run that are not getting compensated fairly for the work that they're doing. And so, yes, it's a question of expenses, but it's also a question of people not earning enough income. And so one of the things that I'm really proud of is that as not only as a candidate, but as an elected official and as the future mayor of Ann Arbor, I plan to work directly with these working people to make sure that they're getting compensated fairly. Ann Arbor has done one of the issues that I have always had and one of the reasons that prompted me to run is that there's a lot of work being put in or a lot of money being put into consultants, hiring multi-million-dollar consultants to come in and tell the city what to do, a lot of money going into raises for administrators or hiring more administrative positions. And I would like to see us what I'm calling squeeze the tube, which is less money at the top, more money at the bottom of the organization.
And that's
more boots
how you
on
would avoid having to pay higher taxes than you're saying, or how to implement higher taxes.
Right. I'm not planning. I don't have any plans to like try to increase taxes at Ann Arbor. I believe that we actually pay enough in taxes. I mean, we pay some of the highest taxes in the entire state.
You want to redirect the money.
I want to redirect the money. Yeah. We pay the highest rent, some of the highest taxes. I want to redirect the money. But the other thing I want to do, and I'm glad you asked about that, I'm going to pivot into something else, which is we pay the money, but the problem is our infrastructure is crumbling. Our roads are falling apart because even though we're paying, the taxpayers of Ann Arbor are paying, the city keeps on giving tax breaks to developers. Like this recent tax break that was given away to actually the developer just kitty corner to where we are here that they gave them a $350 million tax break. They don't have to pay taxes on that development for 30 years. So they have, you know, this new development coming in and, you know, new residents moving into Ann Arbor, which is, that's wonderful. But those residents are going to be driving on our roads. They're going to be using the bus system, the library, et cetera. But none of the tax dollars from that site are actually going to be supporting that infrastructure.
It's been argued, though, Yusuf, that that is a normal process in, throughout the state and how these kinds of things are developed.
The issue here is that this, so I was on the Brownfield Authority for 6 years. And we saw a lot of projects like this move forward. Brownfields are supposed to be to clean up environmental contamination.
This was the old gas station that's attached to the land we're talking about.
Right. Which, if you look at that site, the actual cleanup for that site is $2 million. Of the $350 million, it's only $2 million. The rest of the money is going to build parking decks, $185 million of taxpayer subsidy to build three parking decks for this private development. Parking decks, which will be privately owned by the developer. The developer will get to set the parking rates, and the developer can sell the parking decks at any time. But we're still paying for it. The taxpayers are. And that, to me, is part of the problem here that we're seeing with our city. That's why we can't keep our infrastructure, because we're giving out these tax breaks. And by the way, that is double. If you take all the brownfield tax abatements that the county and the city have given over the last 2 decades, this project alone is double all of the rest of them combined. So this is a league of its own in terms of how it interacts with the tax base, how it interacts with the ability of our communities to pay for basic things. And our school district spoke out strongly against this as well. So this is a major problem, that we're giving away our tax dollars to private developers who, by the way, are well-connected private developers who have given campaign contributions in this case to my opponent and, you know, members of city council, and they're getting special treatment. I think that's wrong.
You're listening to Yusuf Rabhi. He's a Washtenaw County Commissioner running for mayor of the city of Ann Arbor, taking on Ann Arbor Mayor Christopher Taylor in the Democratic primary coming up. Before I forget, you mentioned the roads crumbling. The mayor has pointed out they've got $222 million invested in roads, and we've seen it now with all the construction in downtown Ann Arbor. Is there something different you would do?
Yeah, I mean, so first of all, I want to say a couple things. First and foremost, I think we're seeing a lot of development of our roads right now because it's an election. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think there's a lot of things happening at City Hall that are moving forward because it's an election. You just saw last night at City Hall, they passed a resolution to push for implementation of some tenants' right to organize. Because I've been talking about it on the campaign trail, the tenants union endorsed me. They just issued a resolution around short-term rentals because I've been talking about it on the campaign trail. They just did something around gentrification when it comes to development in Ann Arbor because I've been talking about it on the campaign trail. So I've actually accomplished a lot already on this campaign just by running and talking about the issues, and suddenly city council is moving on a lot of these things. I think roads are another example of that. We're seeing a lot of these road projects move forward because they have a challenge now. They can't just, you know, kind of coast this election. They have to work for it. And so now they have to show the community, oh my gosh, look at all the investment we're doing. Will that be sustained in the long term? I don't think so, because the city, you know, keeps crying poverty on all these different issues. And the reason is, again, because they keep giving away these tax breaks to private developers.
And what is your position on short-term rentals?
I believe that we have a dual system for short-term rentals. We have, in residential areas, you're limited. You can only do 30 days. But in commercial areas, it's unlimited. So you can even have a developer come in and build an entire development of short-term rentals. My issue with that is that you have hotels that have to comply with basic safety standards. They have to have fire suppression system. There's like all these rules that have come in place over time to help protect public health, right? And our hotels have to follow that. They have to pay the accommodations tax. Our bed and breakfasts have to do all the same things. But these Airbnbs and short-term rentals have sort of punctured a hole in that. And they don't have to pay the accommodations tax. They don't have to follow the same rules. And they are taking space off of, we talk about the housing crisis, right? We talk about the lack of housing in our community. And when you have a short-term rental, you are taking space that could be occupied by somebody who's living there. And so when it comes to these commercial areas that have unlimited ability to do short-term rentals, I have a problem with that. I think we need to create more uniformity across the city, and that uniformity should be more in line with what we see in our residential areas, where if somebody wants to rent out, you know, their home for a limited period of time, I think that's great. But to have entire developments, like they approved a few of these that are just short-term rentals, that takes real estate away from people that are could be living in our community.
And that accommodation tax helps pay for Destination Ann Arbor, which
Correct.
Draws in the people to Ann Arbor for the various events and helps those functions and helps with our economic vitality.
Absolutely. And I've been a long supporter of that. And it promotes our community to the world. And it makes me proud as a resident of Ann Arbor. And I think it makes a lot of people proud when they see that, that folks are coming into our community. It drives tourism. It's a really important thing to have.
This is Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY, and the Lucy Ann Lance Show. My guest is Yusuf Rabhi, who is running for mayor of the city of Ann Arbor. Let's talk about the Comprehensive Land Use Plan, or CLUP, as it's called. It provides a framework for land use decisions, development patterns, public investment priorities. And this will go through approximately 2050. What is your view on allowing greater housing density in our traditional neighborhoods? And do you think it will change our neighborhoods for the worse?
So let me say a few things on this. First and foremost, you have to focus on what are the goals that we're trying to accomplish as a community, right? And I think one of the stated goals that that I talked about at the beginning of this conversation is more affordability in our community. But unfortunately, if you just take a step back and look at what Taylor himself said when this passed. He said, this is going to be great. It's going to achieve affordability in 20 to 30 years. Well, in 30 years, I'm going to be 68 years old. And if I have to wait 30 years for affordability in this community, that's not good enough for me. So in my opinion, we need to focus, if we want affordability in our community, we have to build affordable housing, and that should be the focal point. So saying that we can wait 20 to 30 years for affordability, I think is a huge missed opportunity there. When it comes to how the plan was developed, I want to talk about this in a broader sense, because at the end of the day, this has been a time and time again a complaint that I've heard from people, and it's something that I've talked about a lot too. The city hires these consultants, they pay them millions of dollars to come in and tell the community what to believe. Rather than giving the community an opportunity to have a voice in the decision-making process, it is a very top-down approach rather than a grassroots approach. I want to make sure that we have opportunities for public engagement, and when it comes to issues of land use and zoning, the community is feeling ignored right now. They're feeling like they're not being listened to, and that their concerns were not incorporated into the process. So that's something that I would like to change directly as mayor. I want to put the people back at the decision-making table. When it comes to density in our community, I do think that we need more density. I think that we need more housing. All of those things, make sense to me. I support transit-oriented development. I support mixed-use development. I don't like urban sprawl. It's been something that I've fought back against for many years. These things are definitely goals that I have as well. But I think that when you're looking at development in our community, what I would like to see more of is democratizing density, giving people the tools that they need to maybe build an ADU in their backyard or to make more room in their home for other people, to give people a voice at the decision-making table. These are the things I'd like to see more incorporated into our planning and zoning. And instead, in contrast, what's happening now is that our city council and what their approach has basically been to roll out the red carpet for the Wall Street developers to come in and do whatever they want. They're eliminating rules. They're eliminating environmental standards, labor standards, public engagement standards, design standards, which is why we're seeing a lot of these buildings being built that are just completely ugly, to be honest with you. And people talk to me about this all the time. These big, ugly buildings that are foreboding, that people don't want to go downtown anymore. I don't think we need to sacrifice our standards. Why are we sacrificing our design standards? Why are we sacrificing our environmental standards, our labor standards, our public engagement standards? When we can have high standards as a community, we can still have development here. Developers want to build here. And I think it's the disconnect is that some people on the current council and mayor kind of view developers as some like altruistic being that's coming to our community to like save people and house people. And my view is, these are people coming to our community to make money. They're here to make money. They're here to earn profits off of our community. And so, which is fine, but like we should be asking for something in return as a community. What is the community benefit?
And I think to your point, what you have, your overarching theme here is the voice of the people.
Exactly.
And what I do here in our community is they feel disenfranchised. They feel like what they think and say about these things is not important, and that decisions have already been made, but they roll it out in a way that makes it sound like they're getting your input. That's what I hear from a lot of Ann Arborites.
100%. And it's a foregone conclusion before they even come to the people. And you can even see it in some of the surveys that they do where they put out questions and like they only have certain questions to, certain answers because they don't want to hear like the real input from the people. So my whole thing has been like, why don't we, like, the 100,000 plus people that live in Ann Arbor, they're the consultants. You, the people of Ann Arbor, are the consultants that we should be listening to.
But doesn't that beg the question why more people don't run for city council then?
Yes, it does beg the question.
I really think it does. More people need to get involved. I see that in my own HOA and how people want certain things, but they don't want to do the work for it.
Well, it's hard in our community, and it brings up another topic that I do want to talk about here, which is that we've had a machine in politics that's been running our community for too long now. This current mayor's been in office for 12 years, and they have had a political machine to protect that power. And so people feel disenfranchised, not just when it comes to public engagement, but they feel disenfranchised when it comes to running for office, because people that have run for office have been ridiculed, they've been attacked, they've had their lives ruined. And so people see that and they get scared to run. And so we have this machine that is scaring people out of the democratic process. And as somebody who believes in democracy, as somebody who believes in the people having a voice, that really makes me mad. And as part of the reason why I wanted to run, to kind of challenge the status quo.
One big topic before we have to end here, and that is our electrical grid. To pursue a takeover of DTE Energy's grid in the city, set up a full-scale municipal electrical utility. You're in favor of this. The mayor opposes Ann Arbor for Public Power proposal, as it's called, and instead points to the Sustainable Energy Utility, the SEU, that they have set up, 100% renewable energy. They rolled it out at the Bryant neighborhood. They've got 1,000 more that'll be coming up, and then it's open to anyone who wants to sign on to this. What is the difference between those two, number one? And number two, is that enough? Or why would you go as far as taking over DTE when the mayor says that's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars for the city to do?
Well, I think there's a few things here. One, the difference between the two. So SEU is a very limited, small-scale utility. I support it. I think it's great that the city's doing the SEU. It's a step in the right direction towards achieving energy independence and sustainability goals. But it's never going to achieve our goals in Ann Arbor, which is to achieve a carbon-free community. We're never going to get that there with the SEU because it's so limited and small scale. And there's an equity issue too, that not everybody can have that on their property or on their home. And it always, the SEU always, even from the beginning when it was conceived, relies on DTE still having a presence in our community to provide power. But the problem is that, one, DTE is a fossil fuel company. They are never going to go fully 100% green. Two, DTE is an unreliable company. They have caused power outages time and time again. In my part of the community, we our power's out even on nice days.
You live on the southeast side of Ann Arbor.
On the southeast side of Ann Arbor, yeah. It is a company that charges exorbitant rates for the power, and they're always coming back for more and more rate increases. And unfortunately, it is an inefficient organization, because when we pay our bills every month, some of that money goes to pay for their profits for their Wall Street investors. Some of that money goes to pay for their, multi-million dollar CEO salaries. Some of that money goes to pay for their lobbyists in Lansing and their dark money accounts that are used to attack and support different candidates that support DTE across the state. And so that creates a system where DTE has their a power structure in Lansing. They're supposed to be a regulated utility, but who's in charge of the regulators? Well,
ultimately,
DTE's
though, how
been
much,
doing that.
Wouldn't this cost too much money for the citizens of Ann Arbor to sustain something
we're
like
already,
their own power system?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question that comes up a lot. We're already paying for it. We're already paying for it in our bills, and that's kind of what I was saying. Right now, we're paying our bills, but there's all these inefficiencies. There's the profits, the CEO salaries, the lobbyist money. Why don't we take those dollars that we're already paying and actually invest it in our grid? And the only way to do that is to create a municipal utility. And so just the same way that I was talking about housing, you can basically do the revenue bonding proposal where you pay those bonds back using the rates that we already pay. We're already paying for the system. That's what I want to get through to people. And it's not going to be this like big, scary thing. DTE is putting out all these numbers of the value of what they think their grid is going to be. Their grid is not valued at that. And so we can create this utility. We can put power back in the hands of the people, and we can create long-term sustainability, not just for our community, but create an example for the entire state.
Yusuf Rabi, candidate for mayor in the city of Ann Arbor. Before I let you go, tell us about your family life. You're a new dad, 8-month-old baby boy. You and your wife, Hap, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, he is just so cute and adorable. I was spending some time with him this morning. He just started to say Bubba, which is how we call dad in my family. So
that's beautiful. Yeah. And tell me about your mom and dad and where they hail from.
Yeah. So my father is an immigrant from North Africa. Algeria is his origin. And so he is came to this community to study at the University of Michigan. And he met my mom here at U of M. My mom is a local who was born and raised in Detroit. Her father was born and raised in Detroit. And her grandfather was Italian, actually an Italian immigrant who came to this country. So I'm a mix of different backgrounds, but I'm a proud Ann Arborite who went through Ann Arbor Public Schools, and I've just never left. You know, I went to Northside Elementary, when it was the open school, Clegg, Huron, University of Michigan, and I decided to settle down here and build my family. And I'm proud to call this community home. I love this community with everything in my heart. This is the community that's given me everything that I have, and now it's time for me to give back.
We wish you well. Thank you so much, Yusuf.
Absolutely.
Washtenaw County Commissioner Yusuf Rabhi, he is running for mayor of the city of Ann Arbor, taking on Christopher Taylor, the incumbent. You are listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.